Hey, great day, and welcome back to the podcast. And so this is an epic celebration. We are in season two of this podcast. And so I'm super excited to introduce season two. We are going to be talking about how can you be more highly qualified to get the life, the business, and the career that you desire. And so what you will notice is that some episodes may have some homework activities. Some of them will feel like we're being Wi-Fi BFFs. And I'm going to really talk to you about how you can show up as the best version of yourself. You may also hear me talk about the words lesson and podcast episode interchangeably, primarily because I see this season two more as a podcast course that will walk you through a journey. But I'm really excited for season two. I hope that you are as well. So let's go ahead and get into today's podcast episode. Hey, my name is Dr. TK, and on this podcast show, we will uncover abundant tools to help you become the CEO of your business and your life. I am a mom and wife who merged my knowledge as a clinical psychologist and professor for over 20 years into building a multi-six-figure mental health business and seven-figure digital product business, serving others and doing what I love. Now, I believe that you can make a wildly abundant living unapologetically while also dreaming big, enjoying life, and making a huge impact in your community. This is the Therapists Deserve Abundance podcast. Hey, great day, great day. Welcome back. This is Dr. TK. So in today's episode, and I'm going to say lesson, I will be talking about how to manifest big, even though everything around you feels like it is falling apart. And so this will be broken up into pretty much a two-parter, but in the same episode, I'm just going to break it up into two different segments where I'm going to talk to you about how I was able to manifest my first home in the midst of a divorce. Okay. And so let's start with the home first. Let's start positive. All right. And so I wanted a particular home. I grew up in Compton, California, and I had moved out to the Bay Area for grad school and then moved back. The person that I was with at that time, we were together pretty much for a total of about 10 years with dating and then marriage. And I desired to live in a neighborhood where I felt safe and I felt like I could have, you know, functions and family, friends, and fun, because I really like putting on parties. And so it took us a while to find a location that I liked, because just a little bit more backstory, because it also taps into like the house, is he was from South Central. And so, you know, if you know anything about Southern California, there's places that are what we would consider safe or not safe, unless you live there, you grew up there, you know everybody there, kind of thing. I think that every city kind of has that. And so there were certain places that, for example, we couldn't move because he wouldn't want to live there. There were places in Compton that I didn't want to move because I didn't want us to be there or for it just to be any problems. And so I came across a gated community that was built in 2005. It was from KB Homes. And there were a couple of houses on the market because at this time the market had just like crashed. Well, not just crashed, but it was like 2.5 years later, but it was in a deep like slump where there were a lot of houses still in foreclosure. And so I found one home. We went to go look at it, meaning me and like a realtor. At the time, I was living in Compton with my mom. I'll get to that in a moment, but I was living with my mom temporarily because if we knew that we wanted to buy a home, the best thing to do is not to pay rent. And if I can go live at home, there were no kids involved or anything like that, then I will go stay at home. He was unable to transfer down to Southern California from the Northern California area for his job. So we would pretty much see each other like every other weekend or something like that. And so we made an agreement that I would go stay with my mom. And at that time, I had also accepted a position in the government job at the jail. And so I went one night to go look at a home. It was a 4-bedroom, I think 3.5 or 4 bathroom. And it was a nice size house. It still looked brand new, 2 stories, 2-car garage, you know, somewhat on the small side backyard, but it was still really nice. And so I said, you know, if I stay in Compton outside of my mom's neighborhood, this is the only place that I'm willing to stay, especially on that side of Compton, because that was on the side that I honestly did not like, but it was behind a gated community and I just really enjoyed it. So what happened? I put up a deposit, you know, an offer, and I was outbid. And the crazy part is I found out who I was outbid by because that person like moved in quite swiftly. And it was a NFL's parent, like his parents. I'm not going to say his name, but an NFL player's parent. And I'm like, well, hell, we probably would have never outbid, you know, him. And so I put it on my desires list that I really wanted to live in that community. I would still go and look in other places, but I liked the location because it was not close to the jail I was working at the time, but it was close enough to the jail facilities because I really liked working in correctional facilities. It was close to where I would want to transfer at my job. So I said, the only way that I'm staying in Compton is if now, so I up the ante, unless I get this house. At first it was like, I will only stay if it's in these areas. Now it was like, I'm not moving here. I'm not buying a house unless I get a house like this specifically in this neighborhood. I was super specific. Okay. Now I know that's called a specific manifester according to human design. And I do well. Some people do not. And so what did I like about this community? Because when you have a desire in life, whether it is personal or business, you do want to get some type of idea about why do you desire it, because you're going to attach emotion to it. And typically what will happen with your emotions is it will increase your frequency, your desire to have it, and you will make moves to go get it. So what did I like about the other homes? It was either 3 to 4 bedrooms. There was one house like type of home that I saw, and it was almost 2,000 square feet. It was just one bedroom shy of the one that I had saw, but most of the outlines of the house, I forget what they're called, but they pretty much look the same. And some of the houses were on a smaller lot. The corner lots were a lot bigger. And so the house that I end up manifesting, which I'll give you a little more detail into how that happened and how that overlaps with this mist of a divorce, is I put on an alert on my phone on Zillow. And my goal was, I can also live here because I'm close to my mom, I'm close to my grandmother, and I don't have to be physically close to them. Like, they don't mind if I move like far, but it was just nice to know that when I would expand my family, that I would be close to some of my support system, because a lot of people don't know this about me. And maybe I'll make this like another lesson of what would you do if, is I don't have a lot of extended family on my side outside of, like, you know, my partner side. A lot of my family, about 95% of them, do not live in Southern California. They actually don't even live in this state. And so that's why when people see me, I'm probably with my kid all the time. I don't know if they're wondering it, but I know that I'm thinking it, like, gosh, like, we cannot get a break. And, you know, right now. And it's because, you know, my grandmother is over 80, you know, her stuff, she's good, but, you know, memory is declining. My mom works a 9-to-5 job. She does her thing. And then if we do have people here, they're either college students full time with a part time or full time job, or somebody who just started their career, or my other family members are literally working full time, managers in big corporations. You feel me? And so we have a very much so working family where unless I pay, which I have done in the past, I don't have the luxury of just having someone readily available for us, right? So with that said, I envision that I could have a family in this house. I could have kids, marriage, and all these things. And so I put out an alert and I said that I want the house. So you want to be very specific if this feels good to you. I said, I don't want the house to be anything less than 1,500 square feet, ideally 1,800, because I knew that if I narrowed it down, because you got to put in the zip code for the house that you want, I don't want all these other houses to come up. Like, I was unable to put in, I only want it within this gate. It wouldn't allow me to do that. But because I put so much parameters, even around the bathrooms, 2-car garage, backyard, it narrowed down my results. And so the house that I stumbled across at 4 o'clock in the morning due to a Zillow alert was the house that I ended up purchasing. It was 1980 square feet. And I find it was interesting. That was also the address of the house. That was also the year that I was born. And I'm like, alignment, right? It sat on a big lot, 6,000 square feet. Just to give you an idea, we actually threw a wedding in our backyard. We threw plenty of parties in our backyard, game nights in our backyard. It was like phenomenal. It was huge. But I also knew that it was only me and what I thought would be that partner to move into that home. So I'm like, you know, right now, if I were to look at a 2,000 square foot home, similar to the townhouse that I actually live in right now, because we moved out of the Compton area, I would not want a house this size, because my goal is to expand, not shrink, down, right? And so I felt like, okay, this is enough room for me to start, because I'm also looking at things in stages. That's something that you also want to take as a takeaway. It's nothing wrong with asking for the whole cake, but don't neglect when you get a piece of the pie. And sometimes, because we don't have the whole cake, we may not even pay attention to the blessings that are right in front of us. And so when I put out the alert, the house came back and said it's 1980 square feet, 6,000 square foot lot, 3-bedroom, 2.5 bath, 2-car garage, 2-car driveway, great neighbors. I was looking up the specs of the neighborhood. Everybody was pretty much in their mid 40s in terms of average. It had a community pool, a HOA. And again, like I said, it was close to my immediate family. It was close to where I wanted to eventually transfer for my job. And so I had a mental vision of what that life would look like every day. And I was mentally visualizing it. And then when that Zillow alert came in, I just knew it was it. So I sent my realtor a text message at like 6 o'clock. And I said, I sent it to him like at 5. And I said, I know you're probably not going to respond until like 7 or 8, and it's cool, but here's the link. Can you put in an offer? And he was like, do you want to see it? I'm like, no, it's in the exact same community that I viewed the other home that I told you about, because it was with a different realtor at that time. It was like a family friend the first time. And that was about 1.5 years prior. So what am I also telling you? I was very patient with my manifestation. Very patient. Okay. So I'm like, secure it. I said, tell me how much I need to write for a check. And also, I just want you to keep in mind that most of the things that I'm telling you, I was doing it on my own. I set up the budget on my own. The partner contributed about 15 to 20% of the money saved for the home. That plays a role in what happened in our divorce. I was the one doing a lot of the look arounds because clearly that person wasn't physically here. I was the one in constant contact with the realtor, understanding the buying process. That person tried to bring them in. They didn't want to participate. So it's like, you just want to be a signer. Okay, it is what it is. And so I was able to secure the home. However, let me just bring into the context of the relationship. I had been with this person for a total of 10 years, including most of it being dating, married only about 4.5 years or something like that total. I was with that person for my entire 20s. And if you think about 20s, that is your time to have fun. I guess sow your royal oats, if that's what you do, right? Like coming to America. But you go out there and you enjoy life if you have not already met your partner to slow down with. You may start having kids unless you choose to wait. And so I decided to purchase a home at the end of the market crash. Okay. I was saving money. I was living with my mom. I was working in the jail. I stacked up money. I got my credit in order. I had zero balances on all of my credit cards. I was living, to me at that time, the dream life, but I also scaled back on travel. During that time, I had a goal. So I will make sacrifices if the goal is big enough. For me, I have to pull back, right? I was teaching at 3 different colleges at different times, and I was working overtime at my job. I had not yet became an entrepreneur. That came 1 year later once I moved into that home. Now, in terms of what was going on, with what I choose to disclose, is in categorization, it was more trust and communication issues. It was a lot of ups and downs, honestly, the entire marriage, but you young, you know, and I would just leave it as you can't, or I would say it's not conducive to have a healthy marriage if one person wants to live their life like they're single, but on paper, they're married. I'll just leave it at that. And that was not me. So that was not ideal. And there were a lot of ups and downs, and it got to a point where it was beyond repair, right? Offering counseling, offering church, offering just how to repair. And it was just like, it was getting worse and worse. And so how this comes together with buying the home and still manifesting the home in a very positive space, right? You know that old saying, at least this is what I was told when I was younger, you know, that you start to break up with somebody before you break up with them. And I say that because from the outside looking in, some people around me may have assumed, because I don't let people into my relationships because that's private, some people may assume like, wow, she's moving fast. But am I really? Or did you not know clearly what was going on the last 10 years? You know, which that's nobody's business. That's you and your partners and God's or your higher power. So bottom line is, it came to the day where this person had made a lot of nasty statements about who was going to move in the home, because clearly I had already served that person with divorce papers. Okay. So I received a threat that pretty much the house would no longer be standing if I chose to move inside of it. I'll just leave it there. And I said, oh my gosh, you're getting like way nasty. And I am a person where If you know me on a personal level, I'm a very fun, vibrant, but I don't sugarcoat shit, right? Person, but I more so love to have fun. And like, let's just say if you're my coaching client, as long as you're doing what you got to do, we good. If you're not doing what you got to do, we're still good. I'm just going to highlight what you said you wanted and what you're not doing. And outside of that, like, no, you know, I don't have no problems. And so I'm gravy. And so my mindset when somebody hits below the belt is to always put on the bigger pants. I don't ever want to pull myself down to someone's level because they're showing their cards. I'm not about to show you mine. Like, there's no need for me to go down to that level. So there were a lot of toxic, emotional, negative things that were said that I'll just clearly leave off this episode because it would highly be rated explicit. But it was bad to the point where even my supervisor at the jail, she ended up disclosing to me that she had went through a divorce and it was hard, and like, just let her know if I need to sit in the car. So I gave myself permission before I let these kids see me, because it was to the point where these things were being told to me in a very toxic way every day of me working a 10-hour shift, going 2 hours to the jail and 2 hours home. So from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock, I would be told and text, even if I would hang up, all of these things, right? And so it could take a toll on you because this is a person who you had a relationship with, right? So I got to the point where I could not tolerate it anymore. I had an impact on my health. I was not eating. I literally was eating, drinking. I went to Jack in the Box after work. I wasn't eating breakfast. I wasn't eating lunch. I was stressed the fuck out, right? And so I would, the girl who I would carpool with, luckily I had somebody to carpool with because I think that would have been worse, to be in a car by myself. And so she knew more of what was going on outside of like one other friend. And so I, after work, because I didn't want to be nauseated during work, I would go get a large fry from Jack in the Box. And I guess that would count as a fat and a carb. And then I would get a Sprite. That would be all I can tolerate. If sometimes some team members or I would go during lunch, I would go during lunch and that's it. I could not hold down food. Clearly I lost like shit, 15 to 20 pounds. And that's when, after this whole situation, I kicked into health coaching. And I'm glad I stumbled across it because it helped shift my focus into taking care of myself. And I just used the weight that I lost and then I just start toning. And that's how I was able to get snatched, play lingerie arena football, do photo shoots, popping in bikini pictures, you feel me? And so I was living my best life at that time. But that 4-year period, even after the divorce, was very difficult. And so what happened with the home is that when the person threatened me and pretty much said, if I move into the home, they're going to burn it down. I called the realtor and I said, I know that I am going to lose my deposit, but I really like my life. And so I'm going to choose to bow out gracefully. And he said, well, I got good news and bad news. And I'm like, what? And I remember I was at a conference for transitional age youth for the mental health department for the county at my job. I was at a training downtown LA, and I had got all these text messages while I was trying to be at a training. So I'm like, man, let me just pull out and tell this person I don't get this house, because clearly they're upset that I am going to get the house and yeah, they can't come in. And so, and the reason why is because I put down majority of the deposit and I did all of the work to get the house. So yeah, absolutely not. Worst case scenario, we'll just like not get the house together, but you ain't about to move in here. Like, that's my mentality. So take it or leave it. So the realtor pretty much told me, I can't remember which one he shared first, but basically, I'm sorry to hear that, but escrow just finalized today and you can come get your keys tomorrow. And I'm like, so now if I don't want the house, I got to sell it. So we literally spent the first month deciding if I was going to move in, meaning me and the realtor and my mom and my uncle. And we were trying to figure out what would I get if I were to rent the home and all these things and what I could or could not do because I had got an FHA loan at that time. It was just like so complicated. So the person didn't do what they said they were going to do, clearly, because I moved into the house. But the divorce was very ugly. I moved in, and some of the things that started to come out of that experience of living in that home for about 6 to 7 years is that when I first moved in, you know, my family definitely stepped up. So like, my grandfather was super handy. He came in and painted pretty much majority of the house, in which the rooms are like pink, blue. I just had him painted like brown and white. He fixed anything that needed to be fixed. My grandmother also paints. My mom, you know, had a credit card for like, let's just say Best Buy was 0% interest for a year. So she was like, I'll get your washer and dryer. I know you'll pay me back. Because keep in mind that now that I am moving into this home by myself, I have to fork the bill for everything by myself. You know, even though the closing costs were covered, it's like, my job didn't cover for all the things by myself. And so sometimes we plan to have certain things play out in life and in business, and it doesn't go accordingly. So like, what do you do? For me, if I was able to move into the home, I contemplated getting a beach house and living my best single life. But I said, you know what? God put me in this house for a reason. So let me live it through. And that was the same house where I went through two surgeries and got pregnant with my son. That was the same house that 4 years later, I met my now husband. That was the same home where me and my husband birthed our first child. That was the same home that I started my coaching business. That was the same home that I left my 9-to-5 job. That was the same home that I opened up my private practice. I opened up my group practice. I started coaching. I started streams of income. I started digital products. The house did what it was supposed to do, right? So I lived there for about 6 to 7 years. I sold it when the market was up right before the pandemic in 2019 in November. And I moved 40 miles out of Compton simply because I did not want to, I have a stepson. I didn't want to raise two black boys on that side of Compton, considering that even though the gates were cool, you can't go outside the gates without getting gang banged on. Like it was getting worse. And so I'm like, you know, one kid at that time was 9, the other one was going on 2. And I was like, absolutely not. Like if I have a choice and I work very hard in my business and in my company and at these 9-to-5 teaching jobs or whatever, W-2 jobs, there's no way if I have a choice that I'm going to stay here. No. And so I decided to uproot our family. And we moved, but why am I sharing all of this beyond the nuggets that you already took? I needed to manifest a new level beyond living in my mom's house and living, you know, in Northern California. Now, granted, when I moved into the house, I did not fully embrace this house, even though it was some pictures up and the paint and the carpet. There were a lot of things that I really wanted to go all in on, but I chose not to because something in my mind and in my gut, my intuition was telling me, this is just your starter home. This is your training wheels. We don't know what's going to be the next step, but do what you need to do and show up in this house based on the best version of yourself that you want to become, right? And I didn't know it then, but I know it now looking back hindsight that unconsciously, I also realized when my time was up at that house. So what am I saying? The house can be for you, toxic mindset. The house can be a car. It can be an actual house. It can be a relationship, friendship, or romantic relationship. It can be cutting ties with somebody who always is toxic around you. Why are you giving them so much time? Give them 5% of your time or none. Hell, you know, only see them at functions. A house can be a career. It can be you going down a different path. It can be you pivoting in your business. Whatever you want your house to be, whatever you want to divorce, sit down, journal out your thoughts and really think about like the consequences. Think about it from a positive and negative consequences perspective. How is this going to help me in the short term and the long term? And how is my decision in this situation, depending on which way you go, is going to hinder me in the short and long term? That is basic decision-making skills. I believe that if you give yourself time and space, and it may not come in one day, if you give yourself patience and time and space to be able to think it through, and you hand it off to your higher power and allow them to guide you, you will probably make better decisions. Okay. So again, in total today, we've talked about manifesting and being, for me, specific. That may not be your thing. You may just say, I want this, but you don't have to be specific. Like I want 5 bedrooms. I'm a specific manifester. That makes me feel good. Okay. So manifest and visualize what makes you feel good. Also think about times where in the moment you felt like it was so painful and you wouldn't get out of it, because what you will realize looking back hindsight is that pain is temporary. Am I saying that the situation that you may have experienced resolved? Not necessarily, but you have the choice of forgiveness. You have the choice of creating your own resolution. And remember, forgiveness is for you, not other people. So like with this situation, I had to forgive that person way before the divorce ended. Why? Because I wouldn't be able to function in the new home, let alone be a psychologist at a jail where kids are removed from their houses by their own doing and behavior. But I can't be showing up like that. You know, I had to take mental health days. Luckily we only work 4 days. So I was off for 3. And so just know what path you want to go on, what you want to manifest, and just always know that pain is temporary. And sometimes we cause pain on ourselves because we don't want to see a way out. So I really hope that you've enjoyed this episode with me just diving a little bit deeper with you, getting to know me, the manifestation side of me, when things look bad, what is on the other side, because a lot of benefits still came from a not so cool situation. And I will leave you with this. I learned a lot about myself. I learned how strong I was, and that just made me stronger now that I have kids and a husband, right? And I'm married. So it also showed me what I need to improve on during that 4-year downtime. I chose to work on myself. I chose to clear my baggage. I worked on, and this is a hard pill to swallow for some people, what I'm about to say. I chose to look at what I could have done better in the marriage. There is never only one person's fault. There's always room for improvement on both sides. So I hope that this has been helpful. Let me know based on how you get this lesson delivered to you, or hop over to Instagram and tell me in the DM what was your biggest takeaway or aha moment, or that it was good for this podcast episode, this lesson, this life lesson. All right, I will see you in the next one. Bye. Fire me up. You just finished another epic episode of the Therapist Deserve Abundance podcast. Now, I know what you're thinking. That flew by way too fast. So if you want more, please head down to the show notes for additional abundant resources. And if you're looking for a new tribe of abundant therapists just like yourself to connect with me on Instagram at Dr. TK Psych. Until the next episode, live abundantly.